I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
I'm not feeling great.
I'm doing great.
One question and one question only, boys and girls. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I'm still feeling the after effects. We soldier on after one spicy moment. It was quite the affair. Obviously, we will discuss in further detail. As you can hear, my voice is quivering quite a bit. But we move on. Last night was the big three draft. On the podium on the television set last night in FS1 was Kenyon Martin, longtime NBA veteran, obviously a huge part of the big three right now, and he joins us here on the show this morning. Kenyon, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Good to have you here. First off, what was your takeaway from last night's televised big three draft? What'd you think?
It was great. It was a step up from year one. The whole process of the combine and then the draft being live this year, and a lot more talent came out. Guys displayed their skill set in the combine, and it made for an interesting draft. Some surprising picks, but some guys who put the work in that I thought would get picked as well. But it was a great day all around.
Year one, big three, what was your most pleasant surprise? What did you see happen that maybe surprised you, or you just said, okay, that's something that I'm really feeling good about after year one?
No, just the way the fans supported it, just to get the fans in the seats is key, you know, because people are very reluctant to support a new league, you know, because the NBA has been established for so long, you know, and people are reluctant to support anything else. But to see the way the fans came out from week one last year in Brooklyn to all the notoriety and everything that it's gained up to this point, you know, I think that's the biggest thing for me, that the way the fans are accepting us once again in their homes.
Kenyon Martin joins us after the big three draft last night. Tickets will go on sale for the upcoming season, year number two, on April the 20th. NBA playoffs, you played in a lot of these, and LeBron James continues to play in them. You had a really long career, but LeBron's career just seems to defy all odds. What do you take away from LeBron now into year number 15 and still playing at an MVP level?
He's one of the all-time greats, and he's letting everybody know that now. Year 15, career highs across the board. Played in 82 games for the first time in his career. I think the rule changes have benefited him in a major way. You know, the lack of contact and the lack of his body being beat up, I think has benefited him to go along with his athleticism and the way that he takes care of his body off the court. You know, I think all that has played a factor, and he's displaying it. He's putting it on display for everybody to realize that he's to be mentioned with the greats of all time. And the playoffs should be any different. Just because they're a fourth seed this year doesn't mean anything. They're playing in the East, and I think he has a psychological advantage against those guys out there.
Now, you mentioned the rules changes. You came into the league in 2000. By the time you left in 2015, obviously the rules changes had taken effect and the game had changed. How much was there a difference between the NBA you first entered versus the NBA that you left?
It was night and day. It's night and day. Certain things with the game of basketball that you expect, certain contact, certain play, certain post play, things like that, and they've taken it out of the game all around. It's a lack of physicality all around the board. Every touch foul is every touch is a foul. Every hard foul is a flagrant. But there's no hard fouls anymore, which that's part of basketball. You step in the guy's way and he falls a certain way and it might kick you out of the game. You know, that wasn't the case when I came in, and this whole freedom of movement thing and all, like, I get it. You want the game free flowing, but I think they take away from all the total aspect of basketball, the way they referee it sometimes.
You know, when you first came into the league, having an enforcer was an important part of being a championship team. Can you have an enforcer anymore in the NBA?
I think it has to be a different way. I don't think you could approach it the way I did, or just say a Charles Oakley, or who around my time, a Ron Artest, or a Ben Wallace, or somebody like that, like Jermaine O'Neal. I think it's different now, the way you have to approach it. You can still be that, but I think it's mostly words now. You know, I think it's mostly words. Guys do a good job at chirping, you know, so now I think it's they've taken the play out and with everything just. It's talked about now. I think the tough guys or the enforcers are the loud ones on the court now. Instead of, you know, going to the basket and maybe giving a hard foul or something like that, I think it's talked about rather than action.
Kenyon Martin is our guest here on the show ahead of the NBA playoffs. So did that change during your career? Like, could guys not get away with saying as much trash talk-wise because there was a physical component that you would have to answer to? Was there maybe a different level of trash talk that ended up happening?
Yeah, no, it was different. I was watching for free. No, because at any given moment, somebody can go upside your head when you go into the basket. And they just get kicked out of that one game, and they be back the next game. You know, but now you can't do that. Like, you do that, it's more big fines and all that. So guys have to, like, then guys was careful who they talk to crazy. You know, you watch your mouth on certain guys because you know what they was about. It's not that fear anymore. You know, that fear is not there because they all peers. They all the same age. They follow each other on Instagram, Twitter. They go out to eat together. Everything's a hug. Everybody's hugging before the game. Everybody's hugging after the game. So, yeah, no, I just see, like, everybody's friends. So they watch who they talk to. Then they watch who they talk to a certain way. So nowadays it doesn't matter. You know, but, yeah, you definitely watched your mouth on who you was chirping to in my first 7, 8, 9 years in the league.
Who was the one guy, the one top guy that you said, don't say the wrong thing to that dude because he is going to go psycho?
Me. it's just the honest guy truth, man. Like, and everybody knew it. Like, I just, I'm saying that's what it was with me. I didn't bother no, I didn't start it with nobody, but I played the game of basketball a certain way. But was willing to take it to the next step if I felt you got disrespectful out there. You know, let's keep the respect here. Let's play basketball hard. Let's compete. But if you take it to the next level, I'm always willing to do that.
It felt like you and Bob Huggins had a common bond in that way. I mean, he's a guy also that speaks his mind, tough guy. If you want to brawl, I'm willing to brawl. Did you feel like you had a kindred spirit in Huggy Bear?
Yeah, man, he was my guy. I tell everybody all the time. Cincinnati was the school, but I went to the University of Bob Huggins. You know, because that was I came out of high school that way, and I brought that to Cincinnati, that mentality, that no lose, ain't taking no stuff off of anybody, and if you want to knuckle up, we can do that. We can go in the room and brawl it out, and let's get that. But it all started with basketball, and we had the same mentality when it came to basketball. It's just that no-holds-barred mentality, that we're going to go out, we're going to compete at a high level, we're going to play hard each and every possession, and that's what Huggs appreciated about me, and that's what I appreciated about the way he coached the game. So it worked.
Do you ever roll your eyes at Draymond Green because he talks a good game, but in today's NBA, he can't get smacked upside the head like you were talking about in your NBA career?
Yeah, it probably would have been happened. He probably would have had a few fights up to this point. knows some of the things. He's a Michigan kid. They're hard nosed. But I just think he's the tough guy of the league now, because he's the loudest, you know. He's the loudest out there, and I just think he would have had a few more altercations up to this point if he came in late 90s, early 2000s. You know, he would have had a few more altercations.
Kenyon Martin's part of the Big Three. Last night they had their draft at FS1. That was cool to see for year number two. Tickets for the Big Three go on sale April the 20th. That's coming up. The season tips off June the 22nd in Houston. All games will be broadcast live on Friday nights on FS1 or on Fox. Kenyon, I always love catching up with you, man, and talking basketball. Thanks so much. Good luck with year number two, and hopefully we can talk again, buddy.
All right, thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Kenyon Martin joining us this morning here on the show. Thank God for Kenyon Martin. Never thought I'd say that, but thank God for Kenyon Martin because he added some much-needed levity and enjoyment to my morning after one spicy moment. My face is only now unnumbing. I've never felt anything like that. Obviously I've felt physical pain, but self-inflicted, I don't know why they even make this, unless it's a punishment. You couldn't possibly enjoy this. My mouth is just starting to not be inflamed. This is going on about 20 minutes. I went to the bathroom during the commercial break, and my nose just started running into the sink. I couldn't stop it. I was hacking and coughing. I have a real stomach ache right now. That was not good for me. So I saw Robbie Rosenhaus walk in and walk behind you guys during the Kenyon Martin interview. What's his bit?
His bit is he said, I can't let DA down because if I do that, he'll never hear the end of it. He will eat a chip full of salsa. I don't know if he'll go as heavy a scoop as you, but he will do it after the Bucky Brooks interview before Andrew Bogus's update. Okay. And right now he's in the process of getting himself some milk, and he may even get himself a little bread for afterwards after hearing some of the stories.
I feel sick.
Well, we got two more segments. We're going to do a little NFL draft with Bucky Brooks. We got a little Target demo, then you can get on your way and have a good weekend.
I feel so sick. I feel nauseous, and it feels like somebody just punched me in the stomach.
Well, maybe now we will never do a spicy food bet again on the show.
We need to figure out something else.
We need a new bit.
This is just pain in a jar.
Now I'm starting to wonder if the folks at Pepper Pals are actually fans of the show.
Yeah. Maybe they really wanted me dead. I mean, why would they make this?
Probably
as a gag?
Yeah, probably for things like we just did. There's no way anybody could actually tolerate that to enjoy it. Like, sit down, watch football on a Sunday, let's crack open this jar. So, like, that would never happen.
I'll tell you this. If you are organizing a fantasy baseball league right now, if you're organizing a fantasy football league in the fall, if you're the commissioner of a fantasy football league, forget putting in money. Just put this on the line. If you put "you need to eat the death by salsa" on the line, that's all that it needs, because this is the worst, to me, the worst punishment you can give anybody. That was so painful. I'm still dazed. I just feel like crap. It was like I just got electroshocked. When we come back, Bucky Brooks is going to join us from the NFL Network at NFL.com. And apparently, on the back end of that segment, Robbie Rosenhaus will live up to his end of the bet. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
All right, DA, we got to do it real big now, man. We got to put a little extra hot sauce on it in the new time slot.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Can you believe it? No longer the new time slot. This month marks 1 year. 9 to noon Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio, 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. And thanks so much for the last year of support the DA aliens have given us. It's meant a lot. I know personally to me, it always has meant a lot that you guys have followed us from time slot to time slot, from the overnight years when we first began here, 2013, 2014, to the nighttime days, 6 to 9 Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, rather, and now 9 to noon. Thanks so much for walking alongside us as we make this wild and bizarre journey through radio land every single day. The NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away now, and our next guest is an NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. The NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2018 NFL draft from Dallas, April 26, 27, and 28. Fox will also simulcast the NFL Network's coverage of rounds 1 through 3. And Bucky Brooks joins us this morning here on the show. Bucky, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks, as always, for joining us. And you've weighed in a lot about the Josh Allen debate on Twitter, social media, other places. Do you find the conversation around Josh Allen smart, stupid, weird? Because it feels like there's a lot of different opinions and a lot of different viewpoints when it comes to the kid out of Wyoming.
Yeah, it's a fascinating debate and conversation when you talk about Josh Allen. In fact, I'm writing something today about why I could see the Browns taking him as the number one overall pick. I think the debate really stems from, it comes down to potential versus production. And in most cases, when you're drafting, you would like to see a long track record of production that suggests that a player is going to play a certain way at the next level. With Josh Allen, we don't have that. What we have a player who checks off a lot of the boxes when it comes to the prototypical things that you would like. Outstanding size, terrific athlete, A-plus arm talent, a bunch of sizzle plays that really piques your interest in terms of what he could be at the next level. However, that same player also is a guy who has underperformed in big games. He's never completed over 60% of his passes from the time he played in high school to JUCO to Wyoming. And you don't have a signature game that you can say, this is who Josh Allen is going to be. So for me, it's just hard as an evaluator to completely endorse a guy as potentially the number one pick who doesn't hit the metric that we ask so many other guys to hit when we talk about a number one overall pick.
So how do you personally look at this? Because Josh Allen played with less talent around him, but when he stepped up a level and had to play the power conferences, he had 3 really bad games: Oregon, Iowa, Nebraska. Now you look at a kid like Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, they played in a Power 5 conference, and they obviously played well against that elite competition. How do you weigh those two things?
For me, how you play really, really matters. And I think if you can just boil it down to, if we go to high school and you see the dominant player on a high school team, it shows. So even beyond how he performed and whether he led his team to wins or not, I have to get a feel that Josh Allen is the best guy on the field at some point, particularly when he's playing with guys that we can say are inferior competitors on his team and against his team. At some point, you should feel like, man, Josh Allen is the best guy on this field. And when I looked at the tape over and over and over again, I never got that sense. And I was at the bowl game, and he did have a great first quarter in the Idaho Potato Bowl. He was 10 for 16, had 166 yards. He threw a couple of dimes that made you stand up in the press box. However, that's what we're talking about, 166 yards. In a time where people are throwing the ball all over the yard in college football, he only has 2 300-yard games. It's hard for me in today's time to fully say that Josh Allen is the best player in the draft when I don't have enough evidence on his resume to suggest it. And I know people will bring up the Senior Bowl, but just understand the Senior Bowl is a very controlled environment. The only 3 coverages that the teams could play. It is very, very sterile. It is a game that is meant to showcase your talent, particularly as a quarterback. So you have to throw that out because it's not a real game. It's an exhibition.
Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, NFL.com, joining us here on the show. And this brings up a fascinating historical question. Have we ever had such an unknown go number one overall? I mean, all of the guys that have been drafted number one overall in the recent years have been a pretty known commodity. Myles Garrett, Jared Goff, Jameis Winston, Jadeveon Clowney, Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, Sam Bradford, Matthew Stafford, Jamarcus Russell, even though he was a bust, Mario Williams, Alex Smith, Eli Manning, Carson Palmer, David Carr, Michael Vick. When was the last time, if ever, the number one overall pick, as you just alluded to, was kind of a complete unknown at the highest level?
I can't. I mean, I can't go back. I can't go through my history as a kid growing up in high school, playing college, playing in the pros, working as a scout. I can never remember the number one pick not being a player that was dominant or great. And even in the college, though, they may not have played great as pros, but there are flashes of dominance, their signature games, their moments that we can see that you're like, they're great. Look, I saw we did a Football Life on the 2006 Rose Bowl with Matt Leinart and Vince Young. And even though both of those guys didn't play great as pros, in college, those dudes were stars. And they went 3-10 respectively. I think with Josh Allen, the toughest thing that I have, I don't have those moments. I don't have a game or a handful of games that says he's going to be outstanding. I can go Baker Mayfield. I can go Josh Rosen. I can go Sam Darnold. I can even go Lamar Jackson and point out a handful of games where they were the best guys on the field. I don't have that with Josh Allen. And for me as an evaluator, it troubles me.
One of the tweets that you had early in the week caught my eye. I thought this was interesting. You mentioned how every scout has a list of red star players in their notebook, and that is a guy that's going to make an impact in the league no matter who he gets drafted by, no matter what scheme he plays in. Your list began with Saquon Barkley. In your estimation, no matter where he goes, this guy is going to be a big-time player?
Absolutely. I would say at his worst, he's Reggie Bush. He can't run between the tackles. He's not the runner that some of us say that he is. He just becomes a pass-catching running back. He becomes Reggie Bush, who's the second overall pick, who played for 10 or 11 seasons and had a pretty solid career. At his best, he could be something that we haven't seen in terms of he could be a combination of Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, a guy that is a scrimmage machine, an ATM machine when it comes to spitting out 100-yard scrimmage games as a runner and receiver. He's outstanding character. He's versatile in how he plays. He can be deployed in a bunch of different ways that allows him to stay on the field in every down. As the game is evolving into a passing league, you need guys that can do more than just running. They have to be factors. He is what I call the collegiate version of Le'Veon Bell, and that is given the highest praise that I could give him because I think Le'Veon Bell is outstanding in terms of what he does as a pro.
And yet, I've seen some mock drafts that say Saquon won't even go in the top five because of the run on quarterbacks that we will have. Do you think it's a mistake if Saquon Barkley isn't selected in the top five then?
Oh, I think it's always a mistake if you draft a player that's not worthy of being picked where they're picked. If we make it as simple as, hey, Danny, you and I are going to the park, we're playing the Turkey Bowl, I got first pick, I'm going to pick Bobby. Well, Bobby should be the best guy in the park. And it should go down the list in order the draft. And I know that we are obsessed with the quarterback, and I think fantasy football plays a part of that. Like, everyone is like, the quarterback. The best teams, with the exception of a handful of teams that have exceptional quarterbacks, are the teams that are constructed with a bunch of blue-chip players. The blue-chip players can elevate the play of the quarterback, and then it's not on the quarterback to carry the team. What I worry about in this draft with these quarterbacks, some of these quarterbacks aren't capable of elevating the franchise on their own back. And so if you take a guy, no matter what we say, oh, he's a developmental guy, it's going to take a couple years, the expectation when we take a guy up there, that guy is going to elevate the franchise, put him on the back, and carry us to the threshold of winning the championship. I don't know if some of these guys have it in them to be able to do it on their own.
NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2018 NFL Draft less than 2 weeks from now from Dallas, April 26, 27, 28. Fox is going to simulcast NFL Network's coverage of rounds 1 through 3. Bucky Brooks is all over it as an NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter for the latest on the draft. He's a fantastic follow there, at Bucky Brooks. Bucky, it's always good to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
You got it. Bucky Brooks joining us this morning on the show. I want to give Robbie Rosenhaus some credit here, because Robbie was giving us a little bit of the old stick and move, suggested that he wasn't going to take the salsa, that he was turning around, couldn't find parking, going home. The man has carried himself up these stairs into this hallway. He's on the other side of the glass, and he says, I've got to pay off the bet or else DA will never let me live it down, and I respect that a great deal. When we come back, the house, Robbie Rosenhaus, will try death by salsa. We will also get to Target Demo Friday. What a way to end off this week of radio greatness. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, DA.
It was hot TV, my friend. It was hot. It was good.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, it's hot TV, all right, and hot radio as well. 39 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Anthony tweets in, DA, which lower seed will be the toughest series of the NBA playoffs first round? It's going to be Bucks and Celtics because the Celtics are so banged up. Obviously, no Gordon Hayward the entire season. Now, no Kyrie Irving as well. Marcus Smart is banged up also. I mean, that Celtics team is going to be Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, and that's about it. Then a bunch of spare parts. They're going up against Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak. So I think the Bucks have a good chance of pulling off the upset. The good thing for the Celtics is the Bucks are so inconsistent. Obviously, they fire Jason Kidd midway through the year. So for the Celtics, they've got to be careful not to get picked off, but they're not really a two seed. But that would be the lower seed that could certainly pull off an upset. I think the Utah Jazz could pull off the 4-5 upset as well, but that's not really an upset because that's a 4-5 matchup. Was one spicy moment this morning here on the show as last hour I ate death by salsa. I'm still feeling the effects of it. Robbie Rosenhaus, to his credit, has made his way into the studios. He has fought traffic to get in here. Robbie, good morning.
Good morning to you, DA. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You were chosen by Andrew Bogish to eat the salsa along with me. I had the worst men's bracket. You did not, but Bogish, by virtue of winning the women's bracket, could choose anybody. He chose you. How does that make you feel?
Well, first of all, we are the chosen people, so
got it.
For me to be chosen, that's nothing new here.
But I see.
That's okay, though. I mean, I'm decent fan of hot foods. I did hear your reaction on Sirius XM channel
206.
And I'm ready for this.
Okay, you have brought in a few security blankets here.
Oh yeah.
To your right, I see an entire pint of Baskin-Robbins ice cream.
Pint? That's a quart, my
friend.
That's
a quart. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Come on now.
Okay. And what flavor is that?
This is in the metrics.
What flavor is that?
Vanilla. Straight just vanilla.
Straight vanilla.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever done this before, like a really hot food and then eaten ice cream?
No. I think the closest I ever came to a food competition was probably the matzo ball eating competition when I was like 13.
Really?
I would say, yeah, right before the bar mitzvah.
Wow.
Absolutely, yeah.
How'd you do?
Yeah, third place, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Bronze medal at the temple.
Okay.
All right.
All right. How many was that? How many matzo balls?
I don't remember. I remember not wanting to eat it for a while.
Okay, and then what else do you have to water it down?
No, I just have a bagel over here.
A bagel.
Yes. Okay.
Bagel, ice cream.
Bagel, ice cream, the basics.
The old basics, okay.
Like I said, when you nice box over there, it's like an episode of The Honeymooners.
All right, so here we go, and Robbie Rosenhaus will be eating the salsa.
Yeah.
He's going to take a spoonful. Now, you know, you saw me. I put like twice... I put a real heaping serving of it on that tortilla. So here you go. Your fingers they're kind of trembling a little bit.
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
I'm not. Yeah.
I was nervous too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be happy about this.
Yeah.
All right. Here goes nothing.
3, 2, 1. Oh, wow. He's coughing. Oh, now there's spit. There's spit right on his chin dripping down. Oh, that's a gag. Going right for the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Right into the ice cream. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
And taunting Mraz right in your face.
Wow.
Oh, it's so hot. Oh, yeah. Fight through it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
He looks like the Tasmanian devil right now.
Whew. Yeah. Face is turning really red. He's going right back into that.
Tastes like cereal with milk. Delicious. Let's go. Oh, wow. This guy's stamping his foot. Let's go.
Taunting me now. Wow.
Going for everybody.
Oh, my God. So Rose now shoving the bagel in his
my
face.
My eyes are watering like I just watched the Titanic. This is bad.
You are all sweating as well. Oh, my God. You're sweating. It's hot. I mean, wow. Look at how red Rosenhaus's face is.
It's only one side that's getting redder. That might be a malfunction.
I'm getting through it. Look at this. This is unbelievable.
There is like seven people now pressed up against the window. This is like Rosenhaus is in the
this
zoo.
This is like the movie Private Parts when the woman with the, you know, when everybody was behind the glass. You know
yeah,
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's people pressed up against the window
absolutely.
Watching Rosenhaus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous. They want to watch me eat. They can come. I can give you my address. I eat four times a day. Let's go.
And Rosenhaus had half of what I had. This is his reaction. Oof. He likes spicy foods. Oof.
I got to tell you, it's a big saving moment for Robbie Rosenhaus on the DA show.
This was big. He needed this.
This is his best moment on the show for sure.
This is the redemption tour right now.
Oh, this ice cream tastes so good, though. It does.
That's a good idea, the ice cream. That was really good. I was just chugging milk.
Oh, I thought this out days in advance.
Yeah.
I just didn't expect the traffic.
You're like a quarter through that quart of Baskin Robbins.
I'm trying. Oh my. Bagel and ice cream.
Oh my God. It's about a week's worth of calories in the last 2 minutes.
Someone deliver me some Chinese food, not spicy.
You actually are still sweating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You were Bridget Simmons in the oldies. I'm sweating, baby. Oh. Man.
It's brutal. I don't know why why they make that sauce. Is that the hottest thing you've ever had?
Who the hell ever wants to eat this willingly?
The hottest thing I've ever had is like a habanero pepper or something like that. That has to be 10 habanero peppers in every scoop.
I will say this, though. My stepfather does have a hot sauce collection. So, like, he's, like, definitely into hot sauce. So I consulted him. I phoned a friend, like you would do. And
sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I called him up, and he's like, just make sure you have milk and bread and stuff. So here I am. I was like, I was going to get a milkshake. I was like, no, the quart.
What's amazing is that as soon as you opened up the jar, I could smell it from all the way across the studio. Oof. I mean, it is so sharp and so pungent.
So the last time I felt like this was back in 2002. I was out at, ironically, I'm wearing the Minnesota Gophers hat here, and they had won the national hockey title. So we had gone out in the streets and rioted. We'd won it in dramatic fashion. Nobody cares here about college hockey, but out there.
When you win the Frozen Four, you got to riot.
Right, exactly. So we rioted on campus, and they came out with pepper spray hoses. And that's the last time I felt something this strong. Whew. Wow.
I give you credit,
this
Robbie.
This is fun. Yeah, this was good. And I got some ice cream out of it, so.
I give you credit.
There you go.
I give you credit. Okay. Let's get to your Target Demo Friday, boys and girls.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Freddie Big Games tweeting in, DA, listening to you from West Texas while loading these trucks. Hashtag, I ain't stone no dough.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Mike tweets, I just ordered some Death by Salsa from Pepper Palace. Don't ask me why. I don't know. Nothing about watching this made me want to eat it.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
I don't know why you did that to yourself. John tweets, I must say, listening to Mraz do play-by-play of DA nearly dying from ingesting hot salsa this morning was riveting radio.
You are a machine of death.
I got to listen back to that. My mind was elsewhere. I mean, my eyes were popping out of my head. It's going to be the epic fail coming up. Joe tweets, DA, beam me up. We're supposed to get a foot of snow this weekend, so nothing but beer, junk food of the NBA playoffs for me. Go Bucks. Hashtag, it's a hard candy.
Oh, okay.
Josh in Arizona. Post Salsa DA sounds absolutely defeated and shamed. Hashtag not feeling good. Hashtag not doing well.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Tyler tweets, DA, tip of my hat to you guys. You did a lot better than me and most people of eating that salsa. I tried a habanero chip from Doritos. Burnt my mouth for almost an hour, pretty much. Hashtag your one tough cookie.
Chubbo.
Brian tweets, just let it all run out. Hashtag member of the Habanero Club. I'm a member, unwillingly, unfortunately. Adam tweets, I'm freaking dying at work watching you guys try and wave cool air into your mouth as if it's going to help. I had no idea what else to do. Wes in Erie, DA, thanks for plugging the live stream a dozen times before you ate that salsa. I don't think radio listeners quite got a sense of the intensity I just witnessed. R.I.P. Cosmo tweets in, DA, listening to you suffer through death by salsa is what it feels like to be a Vikings fan. The Mall of America turned you into this. You're welcome, DA. I feel awful. I really do. Brenty Boy tweets, I'm exercising, 2 Bumble dates and a Ducks game. That's my weekend. Monday, I'm going to be tired, still single, and the Ducks will have lost again.
She's a bad girlfriend.
Jason tweets, I'm listening in Orlando to the radio.com app, going golfing this afternoon and sushi dinner with my wife tonight. Of course, as a Jason, I'll be mentioning Friday the 13th consistently today. Hashtag little wet, little drippy.
I'm a little wet, little drippy.
I don't even have a job, Damien. Hashtag little wet, little wristy. That's true. We're doing this all on Friday the 13th. That's probably a bad omen. James, listening to the mothership from Tucson, 1290 a.m., delivering around the metro today. Then time for playoff hockey along with English football on Sunday morning. Glory, glory, Man United. Remember to put that unused salsa in the lobby. Hashtag little wet, little drippy.
I'm a little wet, little drippy.
Kevin tweets, I can't wait for next week's PGP where the debate blame happens between DA and the Thictator for the House's negative impact on the show. The House came through today in a big way.
I'm in on the House now.
You're back in on the House, huh?
I'm all in.
All in. Is that right?
We can get into that in next week's PGP.
Is that right? Wow. Adriana tweets, what we really need to know is Robbie's Twitter handle so we can all bash him for flaking on the time slot. People have schedules. Have some decorum.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Wow. Add Robbie Rosenhaus. All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Death by salsa.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
He's tapping on the desk. His eyes are lighting up. Wow, I've never seen your eyes pulsate like this. This isn't a show. Are you okay, too? Get the milk. Get the milk. DA is now clenched. His face is bright red. Swallowing. He's coughing. He's drinking the milk. His hand is shaking.
Oh, yeah, DA, you like?
His hand is shaking, folks. Is DA going to survive?
Is Mraz going to survive?
You okay? Your eyes are watering, man. Your tip of your nose is red. I've never seen your hand shake like that. You're a man of your word. That looks like the most vicious bet payoff we have done on the show. DA is now getting up, stretching out his back. He's had back problems past if you followed the career here. Keep slurping the milk, and a slurp. He is kicking his leg down like a horse ready to come out of the gates at the Kentucky Derby. Another milk. The arm continues to shake.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
I don't think DA will be having another chip.
No way.
No way. He says no way. No mas. No mas.
It's still burning.
Still burning. The milk is not helping. Go right out of the carton, man. Go right out of the carton. He filled up a little plastic cup with the milk. That's clearly not going to be enough. He's already done it. He's continuing the pour instead of going out of the carton because he still has decor. Imagine having that much decor while feeling this heat. I can't imagine.
This is really tough.
I could tell.
My whole throat is on fire.
It's actually not a bad taste. It's the hot. I have never seen you cry before. You have tears, like real tears, welled up in the side of your eye. Okay.
It's hard.
What?
It burns.
You got a little milk mustache there, my
friend.
What
burned? This is hard. This is, I would say, in the 5 years of the DA show, we've done a lot of bet payoffs. I didn't feel like this after the ghost chili salsa. This is the hardest I've seen somebody punished.
My mouth is still on fire.
This is unbelievable. Pepper Palace in Minnesota at the Mall of America was no joke here. As we are bringing a close to the hour, This is going to be an interesting break. We really don't, is DA going to survive here so we could captain the mothership through the final hour here on the DA show?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
It was tough to relive that, to be honest with you. That's how painful it was. Matt on Facebook, what's up, DA? Working at Washington State University right now, cleaning the athletic department building. Just saw Mike Leach, and he says, hey, DA. Is that right? A Mike Leach, what's up, DA, from the Wazoo Athletic Halls. Nice. Robbie, how do you feel right now?
My mouth's still on fire a little bit. Not as much as it was before, because the ice cream certainly has helped.
You're through half a tub.
Yeah, about half a quart. So that would be a pint, if I'm correct. So I'm okay, though. The mouth is on fire, but we move on.
Can I ask you your dimensions? You're 6'2", 6'3"?
6'3", 6'4", like 300 pounds, yeah.
Three spins?
Yeah, three spins of the wheel. You got it.
Mraz, you're back in on the Robbie Rosenhaus bandwagon.
That's a tease for next week's PGP.
Wow.
All in.
Rosenhaus, nice job paying up.
Thanks, DA. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Connor Green of the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Chris Venezia at WatchDA.com of the simulcast. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. The mothership disconnects. Oh, boy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.